Today is the 11th. The 11th. The 11th of November. I believe that's how I remember you say it from French class back in high school. I remember almost nothing about that. But for those brothers and sisters listening from France, hello. I wish I could remember a lot more than I do. I remember, comment allez-vous? And so I say that to all of you, comment allez-vous? Which I believe, unless I'm making a fool out of myself, means how are you? So how are you today? It's great to be here for another grand step forward. One of 365 steps that we get to take in a year. And this is the next one. This is the 11th of November. So the 11th step in the month of November. We're still working our way through the book of Ezekiel. We're still working our way through the book of Hebrews at this point. And so let us jump into that. Ezekiel chapter 23. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man. There were two women, daughters of the same mother. They became prostitutes in Egypt, engaging in prostitution from their youth. In that land, their breasts were fondled and their virgin bosoms caressed. The older was named Oholah, and her sister was Oholibah. They were mine and gave birth to sons and daughters. Oholah is Samaria, and Oholibah is Jerusalem. Oholah engaged in prostitution while she was still mine, and she lusted after her lovers, the Assyrians, warriors clothed in blue, governors and commanders, all of them handsome young men and mounted horsemen. She gave herself as a prostitute to all the elite of the Assyrians and defiled herself with all the idols of everyone she lusted after. She did not give up the prostitution she began in Egypt, when during her youth men slept with her, caressed her virgin bosom, and poured out their lust on her. Therefore I delivered her into the hands of her lovers, the Assyrians, for whom she lusted. They stripped her naked, took away her sons and daughters, and killed her with the sword. She became a byword among women, and punishment was inflicted on her. Her sister Oholibah saw this, yet in her lust and prostitution, she was more depraved than her sister. She too lusted after the Assyrians, governors and commanders, warriors in full dress, mounted horsemen, all handsome young men. I saw that she too defiled herself. Both of them went the same way. But she carried her prostitution still further. She saw men portrayed on a wall, figures of Chaldeans portrayed in red, with belts around their waists and flowing turbans on their heads. All of them looked like Babylonian chariot officers, natives of Chaldea. As soon as she saw them, she lusted after them and sent messengers to them in Chaldea. Then the Babylonians came to her, to the bed of love, and in their lust, they defiled her. After she had been defiled by them, she turned away from them in disgust. When she carried on her prostitution openly and exposed her naked body, I turned away from her in disgust, just as I had turned away from her sister. Yet she became more and more promiscuous as she recalled the days of her youth when she was a prostitute in Egypt. There she lusted after her lovers, whose genitals were like those of donkeys and whose emission was like that of horses. So you longed for the lewdness of your youth, when in Egypt your bosom was caressed and your young breasts fondled. Therefore, Aholi Ba, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will stir up your lovers against you, those you turned away from in disgust, and I will bring them against you from every side, the Babylonians and all the Chaldeans, the men of Pekod and Shoah and Koa, and all the Assyrians with them, handsome young men, all of them governors and commanders, chariot officers and men of high rank, all mounted on horses. They will come against you with weapons, chariots and wagons, and with a throng of people. They will take up positions against you on every side with large and small shields and with helmets. I will turn you over to them for punishment, and they will punish you according to their standards. I will direct my jealous anger against you, and they will deal with you in fury. They will cut off your noses and your ears, and those of you who are left will fall by the sword. They will take away your sons and daughters, and those of you who are left will be consumed by fire. They will also strip you of your clothes and take your fine jewelry. So, I will put a stop to the lewdness and prostitution you began in Egypt. You will not look on these things with longing or remember Egypt anymore. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am about to deliver you into the hands of those you hate, to those you turned away from in disgust. They will deal with you in hatred and take away everything you have worked for. They will leave you stark naked, and the shame of your prostitution will be exposed. Your lewdness and promiscuity have brought this on you because you lusted after the nations and defiled yourself with their idols. You have gone the way of your sister, so I will put her cup into your hand. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. You will drink your sister's cup, a cup large and deep. It will bring scorn and derision, for it holds so much. You will be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, the cup of ruin and desolation, the cup of your sister in Samaria. You will drink it and drain it dry, and chew on its pieces, and you will tear your breasts. I have spoken, declares the Sovereign Lord. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Since you have forgotten me and turned your back on me, you must bear the consequences of your lewdness and prostitution. The Lord said to me, Son of man, will you judge Ahola and Aholi Ba? Then confront them with their detestable practices, for they have committed adultery and blood is on their hands. They committed adultery with their idols. They even sacrificed their children whom they bore to me as food for them. They have also done this to me. At that same time, they defiled my sanctuary and desecrated my Sabbaths. On the very day they sacrificed their children to their idols, they entered my sanctuary and desecrated it. That is what they did in my house. They even sent messengers for men who came from far away, and when they arrived, you bathed yourself for them, applied eye makeup and put on your jewelry. You sat on an elegant couch with a table spread before it on which you had placed the incense and olive oil that belonged to me. The noise of a carefree crowd was around her. Drunkards were brought from the desert along with men from the rabble, and they put bracelets on the wrists of the woman and her sister and beautiful crowns on their heads. Then I said about the one worn out by adultery, now let them use her as a prostitute, for that is all she is. And they slept with her. As men sleep with a prostitute, so they slept with those lewd women, Ahola and Aholi Ba. But righteous judges will sentence them to the punishment of women who commit adultery and shed blood, because they are adulterous, and blood is on their hands. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Bring a mob against them and give them over to terror and plunder. The mob will stone them and cut them down with their swords. They will kill their sons and daughters and burn down their houses. So I will put an end to the lewdness in the land, that all women may take warning and not imitate you. You will suffer the penalty for your lewdness and bear the consequences of your sins of idolatry. Then you will know that I am the Sovereign Lord. Hebrews 10, 18 through 39. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Remember those earlier days, after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And, "But my righteousness, one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back." But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Psalm 109. For the director of music, of David, a psalm. My God, whom I praise, do not remain silent. For people who are wicked and deceitful have opened their mouths against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongues. With words of hatred they surround me. They attack me without cause. In return for my friendship, they accuse me. But I am a man of prayer. They repay me evil for good and hatred for my friendship. Appoint someone evil to oppose my enemy. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him be found guilty, and may his prayers condemn him. May his days be few. May another take his place of leadership. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children be wandering beggars. May they be driven from their ruined homes. May a creditor seize all he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his labor. May no one extend kindness to him or take pity on his fatherless children. May his descendants be cut off, their names blotted out from the next generation. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord. May the sin of his mother never be blotted out. May their sins always remain before the Lord, that he may blot out their name from the earth. For he never thought of doing a kindness, but hounded to death the poor and the needy and the brokenhearted. He loved to pronounce a curse. May it come back on him. He found no pleasure in blessing. May it be far from him. He wore cursing as his garment. It entered into his body like water, into his bones like oil. May it be like a cloak wrapped about him, like a belt tied forever around him. May this be the Lord's payment to my accusers, to those who speak evil of me. But you, Sovereign Lord, help me for your name's sake. Out of the goodness of your love, deliver me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I fade away like an evening shadow. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees give way from fasting. My body is thin and gaunt. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they shake their heads. Help me, Lord my God. Save me according to your unfailing love. Let them know that it is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it. While they curse, may you bless. May those who attack me be put to shame, but may your servant rejoice. May my accusers be clothed with disgrace and wrapped in shame as in a cloak. With my mouth I will greatly extol the Lord. In the great throng of worshippers I will praise him, for he stands at the right hand of the needy to save their lives from those who would condemn them. Proverbs 27:13. Take the garment of one who puts up security for a stranger. Hold it in pledge if it is done for an outsider. So as we are journeying through this epic known as Hebrews, we've tried to keep just a couple of things that we have to keep in focus. Hebrews is written to Hebrews, and that is the context, Hebrew culture. And the revelation of Jesus is in the center of that context in the book of Hebrews. And the fact that God's work through Jesus, like, and this was the only open door, right? We talked about that yesterday. That this work, that what is happening, this new thing, had been foretold. And so today we reach this place where we can finally see the implications of the argument that's being laid out. And I quote, because it's a big deal. Brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let's go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. It's really, really easy. Really easy to take all of that for granted and just agree with it. Because so much of it's fundamental to the way that we understand and hear the Christian faith preached all the time. But the implications here are pretty profound. We can have actual, continual, conversational intimacy and fellowship with the Almighty God who created everything that we know and so much that we don't, including everything in the universe that we know and what we don't. Like, what is more monumental than that? And that is a pretty big thing to just kind of take for granted. In the first century Hebrew context, this is beyond revolutionary speech. Because they knew the way things went. A high priest goes into the Holy of Holies once a year and into God's presence once a year on behalf of all the people. They can't all go into God's presence. They weren't able to go directly in. They were not righteous. According to this new covenant, anybody who believed was made righteous before God and could go directly into this Holy of Holies, go directly into the presence of God, righteous as sons and daughters because of Jesus. Because Jesus is that high priest now in the heavenly Holy of Holies. So that is a paradigm shift, bar none. And that forced Hebrew believers in Jesus, which is who this letter is to, like, that almost put them in contrast and at odds with the culture that they lived in by default. Nobody believed that. Nobody could understand that. It flew in the face of all their religious traditions. And so because of that, those who did believe and were faithful were like under a lot of pressure from that culture. And it's not as if we don't understand cultural pressures and that they aren't still with us today. And so these people were facing marginalization and persecution. But then the awareness that somebody, like, that they could find intimacy with God, they could be clean and righteous before God on a personal level, like, that's also very, very compelling. So they're being torn in half. So Hebrews, very highly theological in its presentation, but it wasn't written as this massive doctrinal statement. It was written to remind those who had believed, who were Jewish, of the good news of the new covenant that had been foretold, and to encourage them to not abandon it. Like, rather than hiding or walking away as they face this pressure, they should stay true And the words of encouragement and endurance, like at the end of Hebrews, matter incredibly when we understand what they were facing. But then they become really profound and very relevant in our own lives when we consider what we are facing in our own struggles. So as with the early Hebrew believers, we also have to grow in faith and endurance so that we can complete our earthly mission and life honorably and with unspeakable gratitude to and for our great high priest, who gave us access to the very presence of God. And so we do that. So we do that, Jesus, with profound gratitude and honor. We thank you for the reality that has been brought to us. And there aren't a lot of hoops that we have to jump through. Certainly, we have to live our lives honorably before you. That is an outpouring of the love that we have fallen into and are walking in with you. You have made the path and the way, and we take it for granted that there aren't all of these things that we have to do to somehow hope that one day we might somehow get your attention. You know who we are and have invited us into your presence. And that is good news and truly beyond comprehension. And we thank you for the offer and the invitation. And we accept and we declare that we trust you fully. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you lead us deeper into Jesus, shattering our paradigms and drawing us forward into faith. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Hey, DAB, it is Refined by the Fire in Ohio. Brian and Jill and whatever that was. I cannot express to you how absolutely delightful this last month has been. It has been enlightening. It has been encouraging. It has been grounding. Just to walk with you, even from a distance, through all of these places from the New Testament, and to consider just what it was like for Paul in each of these places, and just your experiences at each location. Jill, we hope you are feeling better. We pray that you all are getting caught up on your sleep and enjoying your beds at home. But it has just been the most incredible blessing to each one of us to walk with you vicariously through this whole journey. Thank you so much for everything you guys do, dragging us with you, describing in detail, and just much, much love, my friends. Thank you so much. Love you all. Check in soon.
Hi, this is Mary from North Carolina. I just got through listening to November 5th devotional, and at the end there was a young lady named Jasmine that asked for prayer because of the issues that she's been dealing with lately, especially assault and the trauma that came behind that, opening up old trauma. And Jasmine, I just wanted to speak to your heart and say that the devil wants you to think that you've been recaptured, but you're not. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I went through a situation last year that was horrific and brought back past trauma that I thought I had healed from, but the devil tried to lie to me and make me fearful so much that I didn't even want to leave the house. But the Lord reminded me, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I come against that spirit, that strong man, and I bind him over your life in the name of Jesus. And I pray that God helps you fill your house up with his spirit, his word, and his truth, so that that strong man will not be able to come back in at any time. I will continue to pray for you, Jasmine. Praise him in this valley. Let him be your strength and your guide. And we love you, and we'll continue to pray for you as a community, as in a family. Love you all. Bless you all out there, praying for everyone daily. You all be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, my beautiful Dab fam. It's Asia calling from the City of Angels. And I'm just calling because it's the last day of Jill and Brian and Ezekiel and the rest of the Daily Audio Bible tech team, whoever else went with them on the trip to the New Testament lands. And I just want to thank the Lord for guiding their hearts and minds to take this trip and to take us with them. I feel like I was there, and I'm sure I could speak for many of us saying that. And I had to shed some tears here and there, and just especially today, November 5th, just thinking about Paul and his journey and his faithfulness. And oh gosh, I'm just so thankful in such a different way. I just thank Brian and Jill for their desire to take this trip, really. And I've got such a desire to go there myself one day, Lord willing. But even if not, just giving God the glory of the magnitude and the height and width and breadth of this faith. And even in just between Israel and obviously Turkey and Greece and Rome and Italy and just those places, and stretching so far all the way into each corner of the four corners of the earth. I'm just so grateful and so thankful for this faith, for God's beautiful redemptive plan through Christ Jesus for us, and Jesus being the exact imprint and expressed nature of God, as Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 1 tells us, 1:3, I think, just how beautiful that is. We can't see.
Hello, my dear Dab family. This is Susan from Plano, Illinois. I just got done listening to, today's message, November 6th. And I wanted to say how wonderful it was to hear the voices of Candace from Oregon and Blind Tony. And thank you again for another wonderful poem, Blind Tony. I just love listening to your poetry. And I wanted to thank Brian and Jill for taking us along on their trip with them. I really appreciate that. And I just want to lift them up in prayer as they prepare to come back home. I just pray that they have safety, that all the illness and ill feelings are gone, that they don't come in contact with any other sicknesses coming home, and that all of their equipment and all of their luggage come safely home with them. I pray that they do not have any troubles with the flights, that everything, they made all their connections on time. And I just thank God for them and ask God to bless them in all of their endeavors, and as they keep spreading the word of God to all of us and helping us on our travel. Love you all. God bless.